5. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus appears on the Emmaus Road shortly after his resurrection there, again, this is his uncle he's going to appear to. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. He hands off taking care of and helping his mother to John, what we call John the Apostle. And from that hour, that disciple took her in his own home. 28. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with it, put it upon hyssop, or a great big sponge, natural forming sponge, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Three words in English, one word in his language. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jews therefore said, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day. When it was evening on Friday, they weren't supposed to do anything. That Sabbath was a high day. They besought Pilate their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, broke the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with them. These are the thieves on either side of Christ. When they came to Jesus, or criminals rather, and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. He had already passed. Verse 34, one of his soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water, pierced the pericardial sac around his heart. Verse 35, and saw that it bare record, and his record is true, and he knows that what he saith is true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him not will be broken. And another scripture saith, Behold, they that look on him whom they have pierced. Would you pray with me, Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Help me to preach well, enunciate clearly. More than that, I ask you to work on the inside. Father, while I'm preaching on the outside, I pray for those that are adjacent to you, that today they'd make that decision to follow you as Lord and Savior. I pray that you would forgive them of their sins and change their life. I pray for those who are curious, they take that next step of believing. And Lord, that they know they can trust the scriptures. And for those perhaps who are, cool and perhaps even a little cold, maybe they've gotten apathetic. Father, the big sin in our lives, we've gotten bored with the gospel and the story of the cross. Refresh it in our hearts. Remind us of what you've done. And help us understand, Lord, what you did changes everything. And it is the only thing that ever has. And I pray you'd work right now in our lives. Speak to our hearts. Help me, I pray, in Christ's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. That cry that changed the world. The cry that changed the world. We've been working through a few things here. We said there's some things associated with the Easter story that we typically don't associate with. We talked about shame there. Talked about shame and that shame that comes from the disciples. They slept. All the middle schoolers, elementary folks can head on. The shame that they felt. And the awfulness there of deserting him. We talked about being scared. They all scattered. When Jesus was arrested, Peter kind of hung close by, and he would ultimately deny him. We talked about sorrow there. They were terribly, completely upset at the fact that they watched Jesus die. They watched Jesus die. Judas Iscariot's going to take his own life there. Talk about salvation, the plan of God's field, and that's where we land today. Salvation being accomplished. And we see all this with the backdrop of sin and sinfulness and the awfulness that is there. We talk about these three little words there. It is finished. And I was thinking, in fact, I was thinking about just asking some of you, what's three little words that maybe have changed your life for the better? If we're going to stay real spiritual, it is finished. Those are three great little words. It is finished. He is risen. Those will be three great little words, wouldn't they? Three great little words. God is faithful. How many of you are glad God is faithful? Say amen. Amen. Come unto me. That's a wonderful expression. Peace be still. How about you are forgiven? If you're a teenager, you can get a little less spiritual here. Here is money. Those are three pretty good little words there. Three pretty good little words. I like these words there. How about I love you? Anybody feel better when somebody says I love you? I love you, even if it's on one of those little candy hearts, those little awful things that taste like leftover chalk that people still buy for some reason. I love you. I appreciate when I hear, I forgive you. I forgive you. Anybody blown it, messed up, made a mess, and somebody looked at you and said, I forgive you? Those are pretty good little words, right? Pretty good words that change a thing. I'm here always. If you can use a contraction there. You matter deeply. That's it. We've got posters and things, perhaps in your offices or in your home there. Never give up. Never give up. Keep moving forward. It will pass. You can change. Or if you're trying to motivate people, just make it happen. Make it happen. There's some awful three-word sentences there. Three-word sentences. I keep saying three-letter words. Three-word sentences. Depart from me. I don't want to hear that. No more sacrifice. That's in Hebrews. No more sacrifice remains for you. The wrath of God. Wrath of God. I don't want to hear those. Somebody says, I hate you. I don't like that. I don't care. Leave me alone. We are done. You don't matter. What if only? When you look at that, there's a lot of things you can do with little three-word statements. I don't think any of them have as much impact as it is finished. Join me here. We're at verse 17. We're at the foot of the cross. We have gone from the upper room, the last Passover, necessary last time, to the foot of the cross. We are at the point of the passion. We see all the things that are there, and we hear this one word. This one word that changes everything. It's not a word of defeat. It's not a word of despair. It is a word of victory. It is finished. It is finished. And if you're listening, if you're still with me, there ought to be two things that you and I are going. Okay, so what does that mean? What is finished? And then how is it finished? And if you'll allow me, I just want to explore those two things for a minute or two this morning. Are you still with me? Say amen. All right, so here we go. So what is it? What is finished? And then how is it finished? What is finished? And how is it finished? There's a key word that's there. We translate it as three because that's what it is in English. But in their language, they would have heard it this way. And again, it's not important that you know it. But anyway, tetelestai is a compound word there. It is finished. It means to be paid in full. Some of you that are old school enough, years ago, when you would write a check, you'd get those checks that had been processed back. And a lot of times, they would have that mark that's on there. If you give to the church, we've got a stamp in there that the treasurer's used, and they'll put for deposit only, and when it's run through and all, the bank will have their mark on there, and if you need that, again, they don't usually send you your checks unless you pay $3 or $4, but you can go online, you can look at the image, and somewhere on that check will be that it was satisfied, the debt was there. If you ever pay off something that's got a high value, you pay off a house, or you pay off a car loan or something, you want to make sure that you get that deed from them, you get that statement from them saying that everything has been paid in full. And this is the word they would write on those kind of debts. If you owed somebody some money and you paid it off, it was written on there, it is paid in full. It is tetelestai. There's no more balance remaining. By the way, if you're like me, I like having those tetelestais around. Man, if I'm making payments and stuff, I'm a little grumpy. I was trying to buy something the other day, and it was $12. They said, Do you want to go for four payments? Number one, I thought, I'm not paying that kind of markup for a pair of socks anyway. I'm a little offended I'm paying $12 for socks to start with. And if I can't spend $12 for socks, I don't think I can spend the $4 service charge. And that's beside the point. Somebody said you could do that now with Chipotle. You can make Chipotle payments on installments. I don't know if the indigestion required is worth the interest needed. And so when we're here, we're paying these things off. So a completed work with ongoing results. There is nothing left to be done. When he cried it out, it is finished. He's not whispering in weakness. He's declaring in triumph. This is not the groan of a victim. This is the shout of a victor. If that's what it means, then what was finished? What was finished? Number one, the requirements of the law. The requirements of the law. One of my favorite ways to talk to someone about the Lord is they'll whatever. I rarely ask people if they go to church. One, I really don't like making people lie to me. You know, hey, do you go to church? Yeah, I went, 8 years ago, accidentally, somewhere. I always say, hey, do you have plans Sunday morning? That's how I approach them. Because usually they're not thinking that way. And I said, they had plans. And they said, no, I don't have any plans. And I said, okay, we'd like to invite you to come over here and be a part of our service at 10:30. And they said, oh, well, I've got a church. You just told me you didn't have plans on Sunday morning. So I've immediately caught you in a lie. And so you feel a little guilty. Some of you feel guilty now. But anyway, and they don't want to talk to me about things. And I like to start this. I got this from a guy named Ray Comfort. I like to start talking. Well, do you think you're a pretty good person? Think you're a pretty good person? Most of the time they'll say, yeah, I'm not as good as some, not as bad as others. And so we'll start walking through the Ten Commandments. Hey, have you ever told a lie? Man, that really kills them, because they just lied to me about going to church. And you ever told a lie? And so they'll walk through some of that. You ever told a lie? Yeah, right here, guys. You ever told a lie? Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Let me ask you. You ever spent more time on social media at work than you have working? You stole from your employer. And now it's just getting good right now, right? Getting good right now. You ever took something that didn't belong to you? Well, that's it. You ever looked at a man or a woman with lust in your eyes? You ever been at the beach, you know, everybody walking by in skimpy outfits, and you're going, You ever done that? You ever stayed too long on TV? Again, if I'm talking to young people and I talk about lust, man, they don't even bother, because they've committed so much sin with their phone, their tablet, their computer. So if they got a Netflix subscription, they look something TVMA, they looked at Game of Thrones or something where most people had less amount of clothes on, they actually filmed graphic rape scenes and put that out there and didn't put a parental warning on it, all that kind of stuff like that. Man, yeah, lust. You ever took God's name in vain? Craziest thing in the world to me, we've taught middle schoolers to say OMG without blushing. We take God's name in vain all the time. Well, I've just racked up 5 of the Ten Commandments. I haven't even got us started on honoring your mom and dad. So let me ask you again. Are you a good person? Well, according to that, I'm not. No, not according to me. According to God's law. According to God's law. See, God's law demands perfection. God's law demands obedience. And the only thing God's law reminds us is that we are terrible at keeping God's law. We are great law breakers. But Christ never, ever broke God's law. He never sinned. He never lusted. He never lied. He never was wrong to his parent. He did exactly what was required. He is the only one ever to perfectly fulfill God's law. When he said it is finished, the keeping, the requirements of God's law have been satisfied. I'll have people say, you know, Christianity and this and that. And they'll say, you tell me, why do bad things happen to good people? And I love what Phil Johnson said so many years ago. It's only ever happened once. It's only ever been one good person. And we crucified him. The rest of the time it's bad things happening to bad people. Because we live in a sin-cursed world. The requirements of the law were satisfied. Number 2, the promises of Scripture. Still with me? Say amen. Promises of Scripture. Prophecy has been fulfilled. We've walked through this. I gave you an illustration a few weeks ago about filling up the state of Texas with a half dollars there and marking a dot on one of those silver dollars, red X, and dropping it from a plane, or dropping it and scrambling it up, and then you randomly being put down in the state of Texas and thrusting your hand in the pile of quarters that are up to your knees, 2 foot thick, 2 foot deep, and pulling out the one silver dollar that's got the red X on it. That is the same odds that the prophecies of Scripture would be fulfilled. Say it's just chance and circumstance. You need to do the math. The fact that the Scriptures get it right is one of the evidences to believe, and they've been fulfilled. All the types and shadows, all the sacrifices, all the doves and the lambs and the goats and all those things, all the headdresses and all the ceremonies, all that pointing to the fact that it was going to take God Himself to satisfy the wrath of God, and the promises of Scripture would be fulfilled. Number 3, the sacrificial system is no longer needed. Say, why don't we sacrifice those things? Well, we do when we have a cookout. And I'm all in favor of sacrificing some things then, right? Somebody said, what was the temple like? I said, it smelled like the state fair. They're cooking something all the time. Bread baking over here. They got all this stuff over here. They got herbs and spices. Man, they got grilled this and grilled that. You know, only difference is they didn't have a lot of bacon, you know, at the Jewish temple. But other than that, you know, we'll kind of go from there. But smell great. Smell great. Talked about a great, wonderful smell to the Lord. What's that smell like? Smells like when you grill out in the backyard. Man's what it smells like. And they would do it. Jesus, though, we said the last Passover, Jesus is the final, the ultimate Lamb of God. No more sacrifices needed. I'm glad you and I aren't working for it. Anybody in here? Anybody here thankful that what he did made it, it is finished? Say, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do it a little harder. Some of you are on the wheel there. My brother and I were allowed to have a hamster a few times. My mother laughs and says, whenever she sells the house, she feels like she's gonna have to disclose. There are numerous dead hamsters in the walls. Because we'd get one and he'd get out. You talk about Houdini being the ultimate escape artist? Nope, a hamster is. And so you say, no, a snake is. If you got a snake in your house, you got to find another church. And they're not pets. They're vermin. They're something to be extinguished. Anyway, but we'd have those things, and they kind of get out. But my brother and I just sit there and look. I don't, you know, this is pre video games and pre all this stuff. You know, hamster get on the wheel. He's just running to nowhere. And we had one hamster that could run to nowhere while drinking out of that little bottle there. They do that, and I'm like, you know, what in the world are you gonna do, man? They're just running along and doing their thing, and they're just happy and content. They don't know how frustrating it is, man. They could do it, and then they'd get out and get free, and then our cat find it, and that'd be the end of the hamster. And some of you are like, I'm just going to try a little harder. And we'll get on the God journey. I can just do a little better. Go to church. Again, not a bad first step, but understand, most miserable people in the world, some of the most miserable people in the world are trying to do self-righteous things. And you can't do it. There's not enough good you can do to balance it. Someone said it's all on the scale and God will do that. When you stand before God, you're not there for judgment in one sense in our tradition. You're there for sentencing. All that's decided here. There's no more sacrifices needed. And then the payment for sin is done. I'm going to give you some applications after this. Payment for sin. The sin debt's been fully paid. You and I owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Justice is satisfying. Anybody, again, wherever you are in the political spectrum, I think most Americans are like, there's something really bad wrong in our judicial system. Seems like people who should be in prison or not, and it, both ways, whether they've got money and they buy their way out or they're a violent criminal, but because they tick some box somewhere, they're released. And it's really frustrating because you hear somebody's released on a Tuesday, they go murder somebody on the Thursday, and there's this huge grassroots kind of thing. Man, we need to hold the judges accountable and all that. And I don't know how all that's going to work out, but I know the human heart cries out for justice, except when it's justice to us. We want everybody else to be punished. We're not really interested in us being punished. When it comes to us, we want mercy. Second chance. We got pulled over years and years ago. Kids were small. They were asleep, actually. My wife was driving for some reason. My wife was booking through a 45. A policeman told her she was booking through a 45. My wife did something unlike her. She turned on the tears, said, I'm sorry, we just been trying to get home, our kids are asleep, and I wasn't thinking. The officer looked in the back, looked at me, I'm over there going, finally gonna happen. I got all these tickets, my wife's never gotten one, she talked away out of everything, this guy means business, I'm gonna give her a ticket, and I'm so dumb, I'm like, I don't even care what's gonna do to our insurance. Finally gonna get punished. I get caught every time. She never gets caught. I'm young, dumb. He looks at her. She's crying. Looks into babies in the back. Goes, ma'am, you just drive slower. Be safe. I'm going to give you a warning just this time. That was like the 18th warning she'd had. And I don't know how many it is. She's not in here. And second warning maybe. She gets done. We start pulling off. Tears immediately dry up. She went, well, that was something. I went, I cannot believe you. There's two groups of people here right now. People in here, Andrea is awesome. Others are here going, yeah, she got away with it. I was, Allison's whatever, so 20 years ago, 25 years ago. It's not a big deal. We don't like it when it comes to us. Say it went out in the ether. No. Nope. If you and I have been forgiven, it's because God punished somebody. Took God's name in vain this week? Either you paid for it or Jesus paid for it. Broke God's law this week? Either you paid for it or God paid for it. Say, why is hell so awful? Because you and I will try to spend an eternity paying for what we did to offend an infinite God. The payment of sin, a debt to the holiness of God. Preachers get real happy sometimes. They talk about the fact Jesus did this and he paid off Satan. We weren't in trouble with Satan. We were in trouble with the Father. God satisfied God. The debt was paid. You cannot work it off. You cannot earn it. You cannot do any of those kind of things. But on the cross, Jesus took our guilt, our shame, our punishment. And he cried, Tetelestai, it has been paid in full, not partially, not temporarily, but it was done. How was it finished? It was finished. It was finished a few ways. He was physically beaten. He was emotionally paid for. He was spiritually paid for. Jesus suffered all six wounds, typically in the diagnostic tree. He suffered the contusion, the laceration, the abrasion, the penetration, the perforation, the incision. He was hit with a blunt object, or an object. He was beaten with a rod. He suffered a laceration there. He would have been torn to pieces there by the scourging as his back was flayed open, his front, his face, his neck, upper, lower torso. He suffered the abrasion. After all that had been done, they put the patibulum, the top part, the T part of the cross there on his back. He would fall beneath a load going up the Via Dolorosa there. He suffered that on his raw, open wounds there. He suffered the penetrating wound. They would take the spikes there through his wrist and they'd cross his legs right above his ankles and they would put those as they nailed him to the cross there as it lay on the ground. Then they'd raise it up with a rope. They did the penetration as they took those inch and a half spikes there that I've held in my hands that are razor sharp and they look like little nails, and they took and they pressed that into his swollen face after he'd been beaten by the soldiers. He suffered the incision, the incisor, when they went in through his side, up under his rib cage, and pierced the pericardial sac around his heart, and the Bible reports blood and water ran out. That's the physical suffering. You're welcome to wear religious jewelry, but you understand it is not an affectation. Until recently, it was always a symbol of the horror of what Christ went through for you and for me. Emotionally, he was rejected. His disciples fled. He was mocked. He was unbelievably cruel. It was spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He bore our sin. He bore your sin. If you're here today and you leave the way you came in, you understand you do not have to leave the way you came. Everything can be different. He bore our sin. Bore our sin. So what does this mean? What does this mean? How does this affect you and me? That seems like a fair question, doesn't it? How does this affect you and me? Number one, salvation is complete. The work of salvation is complete. Jesus is not still on the cross. Wear a cross if you like. No problem with me. Crucifix, no good. He's not still on the cross. He was there. He left the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He's not still bleeding tonight. It was finished. If you're glad for that, say amen. It is finished. Nothing needs to be added. No more work needs to be done. You don't need another sacrifice. You don't need another payment. I'm not helping him. I'm not helping him. The work of salvation is complete. It is finished. It is finished. He will die. He will be buried. He will rise again. It is finished, not he is finished. Number two, he is not finished. He's not finished. Jesus is victorious. Jesus is victorious. He is risen. He is returning. In like manner as he's going to ascend, Acts chapter 1, he's going to come back in the clouds. Jesus has absolutely worked. He is victorious. Up from the grave he arose. I love Christ the victor. We sang about all those songs today. Man, we need to get out of our head. Again, he is meek and he is lowly. He is gentle. He is kind. But he is absolutely the Lord and Savior Almighty. He is the one who defeated sin, death, hell, and the grave. He is the one who is coming back in the cloud. He is not defeated. He's victorious. And by the way, he has made us victorious. Made us victorious. It is finished. Not he is finished. Number three. You and I just don't contribute anything. As soon as I get over my porn problem, I'll become a Christian. As soon as I quit drinking so much, I'll become a Christian. As soon as I get over my anger problem, I got this bitterness problem. Life hadn't been kind to me. No. You come to Jesus as you are and let Jesus change you. Not your works, not your effort, not your earning. Salvation is free. Not that it's cheap. Salvation is free in that you can't buy it. You can't earn it. It is received. It is not achieved. I am glad today that at the end of it, it is sola Christo. It is sola fide. It is all about Jesus. It is all for him. Only him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Write in your notes, I gave it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Because that's number four. Your life will change, should change. It's terrible grammar. The old African-American preacher liked to say it, and I think it's pretty good and works out. If you is what you was, then you ain't. Yeah, I came to Jesus and nothing changed in my life. I don't know what you did, but you didn't come to Jesus. Passions change. Habits change. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a struggle. But there ought to be growth in your life. There have been no change. I got news for you. I don't know if you can claim that you ever came to Christ. Happens all the time. Somebody getting ready to pass away or passes away. Nobody's got a pastor. They call somebody. And then the family starts trying to explain. Now, Fred, I'm looking around the room. No Fritz. Now, Fred, he ain't been to church since he was a boy. He's 68 now. But Fred was a good man. I know he's in heaven now. And they're trying to get me to say something like that at the funeral. And I go, I appreciate all that, but can't do anything about Fred. Funerals are for the living. So if I'm going to do the funeral, I'll just talk to everybody that's here. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Folks will come by and they'll say, I'm glad you didn't preach Fred into heaven. I said, not my prerogative, not my power. Fred decided that before Fred died. Truth of the matter is, Fred decided that apparently 40, 50 years ago. If the only thing you think about salvation is something to do with dying, like insurance, you don't understand at all the gospel. You don't understand John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For whosoever believes is not condemned, for he's received, for he's believed in the name of the only begotten Son. 18. But whosoever believes not, the wrath of God is already there. You're not waiting to be judged. You're already under the condemnation of God. You and I have a desperate need right now. That's my definition of grace, by the way. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's fine. But grace is something you desperately need but do not currently possess, that has been provided by the death and burial and resurrection of Christ on the cross. You are in desperate need like a person needs oxygen. You need to be forgiven. You say, I need this when I die. You don't know when you're going to die, but you know that you are going to die. Heaven is a great friend's benefit. It is not the goal. What I need is righteousness. And when he changes my life, when he saves you, your life will change. Some of you men, you've never been happier since you came to Christ, and your life got immeasurably more difficult. Folks, right now, in my sphere, I'd come to Christ, but I'd have to get married. I'd come to Christ, but I'd have to stop drinking. And they're going, me living in sin, me getting smashed on the weekend, me taking my paycheck up my nose, all these kind of whatever it is. I can't do any of those things because I'd like to have Jesus comfort in a little bit of my sin. No, no. Jesus is better than your sin. Somebody say amen. Jesus is better than all the other things. He is better. Your life will change. Have you done enough? Never will. Did he do enough? He did. It is finished. The work is done. The price is paid. The way is open. The question remains, what will you do with him now that it is finished? If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You can have your life changed today because it is finished. Would you pray with me right now? Father, so much more I want to say, so much more to be said. Oh, how I pray we'd hear, understand, and obey the Scripture. Father, I pray in these moments, that you would help us. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts right now. Lord, I thank you for your love for us and dying on the cross for our sin. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rodney, I want to raise my hand. There's been a time, a place, a point in my life where I asked Jesus to save me from my sins. And even though I'm not all I ought to be and not grown as much as I want to, there was growth in my life. There's been a change in my life. And I am thankful to raise my hand that I have been a recipient of the fact that it is finished. It is finished. Would you just slide your hand up with mine in joyful celebration? Thank you. You can put them right back down.